Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. It is still cool outside. If you have not had a chance to get out and take a walk or get your dogs out or whatever you do in the morning, go get some coffee, get out and enjoy it before it gets up to about 91 today. It's kind of like yesterday. Yesterday was a great morning. Jed Marshall is here running the show. My name is Brad Porter. We are live in the Rally House studios. A couple of headline notes here, and then we'll get into Sporting KC and World Cup soccer. So I told you at the end of the hour, but just to update you, Jacob Junis was scheduled to start for the Royals today. He has been scratched. He has lower back inflammation, so he's going to the DL. Keith Fillmyer is going to start for the Royals today, and Glenn Sparkman gets a promotion from AAA Omaha. So roster moves, and also today, the end of a streak. I think it's a streak many Royals fans feel has gone on too long. Alcides Escobar not in the starting lineup today for the Royals.
No, boo. It hasn't gone on long enough.
421 games. 421. I wonder what the magic, if there was a magic marker, if they had a number in their head, Ned Yost and Dayton Moore, if there was 421 meant something significant.
Missed it by one.
I mean, 420 would have been hilarious for certain people on Twitter.
I think everyone would have found it funny.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
So the starting lineup today, Whit Merrifield leading off and playing second, Jorge Bonifacio hitting second and right, Mike Moustakas hitting third and playing first base again, showcasing for the Yankees. Lucas Duda DHing in the cleanup spot, Alex Gordon hitting fifth in left field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way these lineups are going now. Hunter Dozier hitting sixth and playing third base. Abraham Almonte hitting seventh in center field. Raul Mondesi. It's Alberto now. Why people are still writing Raul? He changed it. Alberto. So he's going to play shortstop and hit eighth. Drew Butera, who came in as a relief pitcher last night, gets the start at catcher. Back at his natural position. You never know with these crazy Royals. You never know.
That's why we love them. It's so much fun.
You never know.
Covering this team every day.
Every day is an adventure. Every day.
It's something.
All right, we're going to get into Sporting KC and World Cup talk here. The first time we have had Alec Trost on the show from the Blue Testament. We got that right? We got the name right?
You know, we just talked about this.
You have to move your microphone a little bit closer.
Hold on.
We'll get this figured out. Hey, it's new. It's your first time here at 810 WHB, so we'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out. I hate to correct you because we just talked about this.
Okay.
Trost.
Trost.
Hardo.
Gosh, darn it.
Not Trost, not Trost.
Trost. Like toast.
Ways. Like toast.
Okay, so I'll write
yes.
down toast. Allie Trost.
Yes.
All right. And you write for the Blue Testament, which is part of SB Nation.
Yes.
And you do a podcast as well.
I do.
So how did you, before we get into sporting and the World Cup, I guess, how did you come to write for the Blue Testament? And I've known Thad for years.
Oh, that's great.
He's one of the most dedicated people to cover Sporting KC I've ever met. He's out there on his own time, taking pictures of everything. So how did you come to work for the Blue Testament covering Sporting KC?
Yeah, well, I moved to Kansas City a year ago.
Okay.
From St. Louis, went to Mizzou, took my first job here in Kansas City, and I got involved with SB Nation in college covering women's basketball for Mizzou through one
of
their...
Man, do they have some players.
Oh my.
Man alive. They
if
got
you
some
don't
players.
Follow Mizzou women's basketball, you are missing out because that team is it's a treat to follow.
Right.
And not only that, not going to get into it because we're not here to talk about Mizzou women's
right.
basketball, but... Great players, great coach, great program, and even better people.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really great to work with. So I did that, kind of fell in love with sports reporting from there. I've always followed sports, always been, you know, interested in covering them in some sort of way, but it wasn't until then that I really was like, wow, this is great. As a result of that, I got to cover NBA All-Star Weekend in New Orleans.
That
which
would be awesome. I heard that's the best party of any of the major... Pro Bowls, All-Star Games, the NBA puts on an unbelievable show.
Oh my gosh, it was absolutely wild, and long hours. Was working from 8 a.m. till midnight, but loved every second of it. Loved every second. And so then upon moving to Kansas City, I was really excited that Sporting Kansas City was a team in this city because coming from St. Louis, you know, huge soccer town, but no MLS team.
Right.
So I knew right away that I wanted to get involved in start covering the team. So I reached out to some SB Nation connections, got connected with Thad. Thad kind of got me on. And then from there, he has been great, just kind of letting me take whatever any ideas I had, any types of content I wanted to put out and kind of run with it.
Right.
So that evolved into video, which, you know, I edit and also like on camera for podcasts, writing, all sorts of stuff.
You have to be able to do all of it now.
Tricks of the trade. Yeah.
Right.
So it's been a lot of fun and I couldn't be happier to be in Kansas City working with the Blue Testament and working with guys like Thad and
Mike Kuhn.
Oh, Mike.
Down the byline. God, I've known Mike for years and years and years.
If anyone gets a chance to grab Mike or Thad for an hour or longer and just ask them anything that you want to know about MLS, about Sporting Kansas City, those guys are a wealth
everything.
Of knowledge. They know it all. It's crazy.
I love Mike Kuhn's Down the Byline when he posts the juice boxes thing. And he has all these odd numbers and stats and that you would never. I mean, the obvious ones like Matt Beisler is now the all-time minutes leader after last night. Kerry Zavagnin, I'm surprised he didn't run on the field and tackle him and try to drag him off. And they scored what the Ilya's PK was like the 1,200th in club history last night. It's a major number. But Mike finds all these obscure references and players that you've never heard of and them in there, and it's great.
I'm convinced that he has like a little lab that he sits in with just 17 desktop monitors just running, crunching numbers because some of the things he finds, you wouldn't even think to look for.
We're talking with Ali Trost from the Blue Testament, does writing and podcasting and video things, and went to Mizzou. So did you go to the journalism school at Mizzou?
I did.
Which is very hard to get into.
I did.
It's cream of the crop kind of people. When you look at their, I don't know if they have a wall of fame, but the people who have been through there, I mean, John Anderson's probably one of the bigger names, but I mean, so many people, great writers and journalists have come through there.
Yeah, and it's funny, it was always a dream for me to kind of go to the J school there. I always reference the story with my dad when I was little. I played soccer growing up.
Okay.
So that was another connection I had when getting involved with Sporting Kansas City. But growing up, the Show Me State games in Columbia, Missouri, my dad and I were there and we're out on the quad and he points over the journalism school. I've always loved reading and writing. I've always been a writer. And he was like, Allie, you know, you love reading, you love writing. I could see you studying journalism there someday. And ever since then, like, that's always kind of stuck with me. I was 8 years old, and I truly will always, like, remember that. And in high school, kind of, you know, followed that passion. Mm-hmm. College just kind of took off with it, and I had a great experience there.
Well, I did. Before I started working here at WHB, I was in television for 20 years. It used to be called Metro Sports. Now it's Spectrum Sports, and they're going through some changes over there. But young people would come in, interns, and they would always say, what's the most important thing? Because they want to, everybody, if you're on television, you have an ego, right? Okay, it's just the way it is. I'm going to be on, everybody's going to see my face, and everybody's going to know who I am. They would say, what's the most important thing? Because they think you have to be able to speak clearly, which is big. But my thing is writing. You better know how to write, because if you cannot write, you are not going to make it. Anybody can sit there and say, Royals and Red Sox today, here's the highlights from cut. That's easy. If you can write a backstory to it,
absolutely.
And find a point of interest, it is so important and it's so underrated. And the younger generation, I think, is getting it, especially with the development of websites and blogs. Mm-hmm. They get experience at writing and then they get better at it and better at it and better at it.
Oh, absolutely. And
I just ended three straight sentences in a preposition, which you're not supposed to do. So.
Hey, but it's radio. You can gotta make it.
Yes.
It's hard when people aren't
conversational. Yes.
Exactly. And, you know, that was actually one of the first things I've learned when I got involved with sports writing. Mike Robinson, who was the manager for the Swish Appeal women's basketball, WNBA, NCAA basketball site that I was contributing to, he told me, he was like, Allie, before you get on camera and do anything like that, which I do a little bit more of now, he was like, you have to be able to write about the game.
Right.
You have to be able to pick out those points, find those storylines. And so, you're a great sports journalist, you're a great storyteller.
Right, absolutely.
That's all it is.
We're talking with Ali Trost from the Blue Testament. She covers Sporting KC and all things soccer. Been here for a year. We'll get into Sporting in a minute, but I want to go back to the St. Louis connection. Where did you go to school in St. Louis?
I went to St. Joe Academy. It's an all-girl high school, okay. Right off Lindbergh.
Because it is a hotbed for soccer over there. Yes. All the schools, Vianney and DeSmet and St. Joe's, and I mean, on and on. And St. Joe's is, what, a huge volleyball powerhouse?
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I've got a family connection for a teacher. Uh-huh. You know her, Jen Bish.
Jen Bish.
You know her.
Yeah,
so.
She was my forensics teacher senior year.
Pretty good teacher. Give me a good report.
Oh my gosh, great teacher. Great person. School's lucky to have her.
Okay. So coming from St. Louis, and again, we're going to get to sporting, I promise. But fans here in Kansas City, we have a natural rivalry / borderline hatred for St. Louis. Sometime. I mean, yeah. It depends. But I think fans here in Kansas City have been rooting for St. Louis to get a Major League Soccer team because it's such a natural hotbed for soccer. And they've produced a couple dozen Major League Soccer players.
Oh, yeah. I know a couple right now who
right
two guys just got drafted one first overall pick or not first overall pick but in the first round and second
right.
round one to New York Red Bulls, one to New England Revolution, and it's like,
and they also produced, in my opinion, the best central defender in women's soccer, and that's Becky Salbrun, who played here for FC Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, their ownership had major problems. And they're now out in Salt Lake, which is because I like Becky. I think she's fantastic. She's a great spokesperson for women's soccer and the national team. She's terrific. She's a St. Louis product. Because when the funny story is, or at least it's funny to me, when the Royals were in the World Series in 2014 and 15, we were out at a U.S. women's national team training session. Mm-hmm. And I asked her a couple of questions and I said, can you do me a favor? And I was trying to get athletes from different teams to look into the camera and say, hey, Becky Salbrun from FC Kansas City, just want to say, go Royals. And she said, I'm absolutely not going to do that. And I said, why wouldn't you do that? They're right down the street. She goes, I'm from St. Louis. And I said, okay, can you say it in a way that, you know, you're not actively rooting for the Royals? And she said, she would say, good luck to the Royals. So she gave me that. And it was funny. It wasn't anything
right,
mean.
But
so she was terrific. And she's still a fantastic player.
Yeah, and like you said, with the St. Louis Cardinals, I think that is the one team now that St. Louis people are, I mean,
that's all you
got.
Now.
I support the Royals 100%, and if they're doing well, I'm cheering for them, hoping for the best for them, but I'm still a Cardinals fan.
So
I've adopted the Chiefs, and I've adopted Sporting Kansas City, but.
So why does St. Louis still not have an MLS team? I know they had a vote a couple of years ago for a new downtown stadium. Mm-hmm. They messed it up with the NFL, and the NFL wasn't going to stay. Their owner is, pardon me, he's a jerk weasel, and didn't want to be, even though he's a Missouri guy. He wanted to go to LA. They weren't going to win that. But why does St. Louis not have a Major League Soccer team?
Well, I think it all, like you said, they were going for a downtown stadium.
Okay.
The stadium's going in West County. It's going in South County. It's going in Maryland Heights. I think it would pass because the people who are making that vote, the people who care about getting an MLS team, they're all out in the counties. They're all out in the suburbs. So the vote was so limited to such a small demographic, and that demographic did not really represent the need and want for soccer, especially MLS, in St. Louis. You know, they have St. Louis FC. They have a great kind of pipeline coming out of St. Louis, like we kind of talked about earlier. Some of these great players who are, you know, from age 3 till age 18 before they either go on to college or choose their next big thing, they're getting some really great opportunities in St. Louis. And there's guys, I mean, my great uncle Al Trost, he's there, Jeff Cacciatore, you got Dan O'Keefe, Eric Delabar, some of these guys who are staples in U.S. soccer are all still in St. Louis.
Right.
And they're still having a huge role in these kids' development. And it's just a matter of time, hopefully sooner rather than later. But yeah, I was pretty bummed to see Nashville get a team. And I'm like,
Cincinnati's getting a team.
I'm like, St. Louis is widely known as being a hub of soccer in the United States. And I just think St. Louis gets a team. What a cool rivalry between Kansas City and St. Louis, just to add to it.
Well, several years ago, Sporting tried to manufacture this rivalry with the Chicago Fire. And it was, if Sporting beat Chicago, you got a discount on a sandwich at some sub shop or something like that. So they manufactured this rivalry, and it never took off. It never is. Real Salt Lake is kind of the team the players hate because we always, I mean, it almost turns into a brawl every game. LA Galaxy is just fun to beat because they're the big money team that doesn't win. Well, it hasn't won lately.
Right.
I mean, they've won a lot over the years.
Right.
So St. Louis would give us, I mean, and it's a great, I mean, we go over there, they come over here, and it's a party. And
it would be, even, I went to, Swope Park Rangers played St. Louis FC the other month, and I've been to a few of those games, and just the people who traveled from St. Louis to the game, it was, I mean, they almost had as many people there as the Swope Park Rangers did, and this is, you know, it's just a 3.5-4 hour drive straight down 70. I mean, it's just the perfect setup for what could be an amazing rivalry.
All right, we're talking with Ali Trost, who covers Sporting KC and soccer for the Blue Testament. So let's get into, well, wait a second. We got a break coming up here. We are going to get into Sporting, like we said. 2-2 draw with Toronto last night. Disappointing not to get the 3 points after making the comeback, but we'll get into that and the World Cup, which we got a couple of days to wait before the semifinal. I hate the wait. The previous 2-day wait was long, and this next 2 to 3 day wait is going to be long. As we go to break, we're going to update the news from Kauffman Stadium. Two big points of news. Jacob Junis, today's scheduled starter, has been scratched. He has inflammation in his lower back. He's going to the DL. Heath Fillmyer is going to start today, and Glenn Sparkman has been called up from AAA Omaha. So you're looking at probably a piggyback start kind of a situation. The other big news, Alcides Escobar not in the starting lineup today. So his streak of consecutive games started ends at 421 games. No Alcides Escobar in the starting lineup. All right, a quick timeout here. When we come back, more with Ali Trost. We'll get into Sporting KC and their 2-2 draw, and we'll talk World Cup. All that is still to come. You're listening to Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Beautiful morning outside. If you have not been out, I would encourage you to do that. You're listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. Ali Trost from the Blue Testament, who covers Sporting KC and all things soccer, is here in studio. First time ever. Great job in the first segment. So make this a regular thing. A couple of news points before we get back into the soccer. If you missed it, two big news notes from Kauffman Stadium. First, Jacob Junis, today's scheduled starter, has been scratched and put on the disabled list with lower back inflammation. Heath Fillmyer will start today against the Boston Red Sox. And Glenn Sparkman has been called up from AAA Omaha to fill a roster spot. Also, in the starting lineup, Alcides Escobar is not in it today. So his streak ends at 421 games. Mondesi starting at short. And Escobar is not playing second. He's not playing center field. All the other
Third base.
All the
I
other
like to hide him there sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So no Alcides Escobar in today's starting lineup. All right, Ali Trost, we were having a good laugh during the break about the World Cup. And we'll do Sporting first, but we had a laugh about the World Cup. I'll save that till we get into the World Cup.
It can wait.
I was laughing coming out of the break based on what you said. Let's get into Sporting first. 2-2 draw with Toronto FC last night. It got behind her 25th minute.
Yeah.
Then came back, got a couple of goals. And when Sporting is at home and Toronto is here, Toronto does not play well at Children's Mercy Park. In fact, Toronto never plays well on the road. You think 2-1, it's in the bag. Oh, give up that second goal and it's a draw. And you got to feel if you're Sporting, that's a lost couple of points.
And that second goal, I know Peter had his hands up. Beasler went over to talk to the ref and Kuzain, because I forget who passed
foul,
it to Kuzain.
Right? Yeah.
And I personally didn't think it was a foul.
Okay.
I think that maybe there could have been some question, but overall I think the ref made the right call. And then just had unfortunate goal results from it. But I just think it goes back to, you know, Kuzain's 19 years old.
Right.
He's acclimating
to this.
We always
forget that.
We always forget that. Same with Jalen Lindsay. I mean, Jalen Lindsay, the way he
plays.
He's
a kid.
He's 17, 18 years old. I'm like, I was looking at the roster and I was laughing last night, just kind of, you know, looking through. And the birth dates and one of the printouts that we get, you know. And I'm like, 2002?
Right.
Like, 2000? I'm like, who was born then? I'm like, oh, Busio just got his license, right? But no, you know, Kuzain goes down there And he tried to try to, before he got knocked down or fouled, whatever that was, he tried to, you know, take a couple touches to find space, gets shut down, and then that results in the goal. And Peter's mentioned before, you know, Kuzain's just going to have to take a couple beatings here and there to,
right.
you know, bolt, you know, to
figure,
get,
it, out.
To figure
yeah.
it out and get used to this more fast pace, this more physical environment that he's playing. And so far, I think he's done a great job. And Peter had nothing but great things to say about them last night, saying that, you know, these kids have been getting experience, not just because, oh, like for the sake of getting experience, but because they actually deserve the opportunity and they've been making an impact. So that was an unfortunate play right there, which resulted in a goal, which resulted in the tie. And then Sporting couldn't come back and get the elusive
right.
game winner, as they've been doing in that Houston game, which I'm sure you
oh
saw.
Oh, my gosh. That was unbelievable.
That was insane. And I was genuinely hoping for that, but. You know, we can't get too spoiled with with things like that. But yeah, unfortunate tie, but overall, great way to cap off what was a really tough week mm-hmm. for them. So,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the teenagers that are playing for Sporting, because I had read an article maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, and it was a knock on Major League Soccer about teenage players. And the question was, why do some of these young teenage players go to Europe? And the answer is, most Major League Soccer teams are afraid to play the young players, because if they lose a game or they have a play that costs them a game, it reflects badly on the manager or the organization, so they're not willing to take the risk. Peter Vermes and Sporting have been ahead of the curve for the last 10 years on almost everything they've done. Homegrown players, mm-hmm. New stadium, when they redeveloped Swope Park. Now they have the new training complex out at the stadium, which is Pinnacle, which is unreal. And
yeah.
now they're playing these teenage guys. Not that other teams are not,
mm-hmm.
but Peter Vermes has the confidence to say, we're good enough, and they're good enough, they're playing.
And I think,
and if you're a veteran, yeah. don't get comfortable, because I'm going to play the kids.
Right, and that's what I think, that in-team competition I think is so important. But it's what's so cool with these veterans, though, is that they are such good mentors and leaders for these young guys.
Right.
Talk to Kuzain and Busio and Lindsay, every single one of them will say, Elie, Roger, Bees, like giving them the best advice, making sure that they know what they're doing out on the field and not making them feel like they need to, just not doing this intimidation thing.
Right.
That I feel like sometimes a lot of, you know, captains, and not all captains, I'm not saying that this is like a thing across MLS, but I just think that there can be a tendency when there's that age difference, when there's that experience difference, that, you know, not all players want to mm-hmm. help cultivate from the ground up and help grow these young guys into what will eventually be the role that they will be mm-hmm. replacing for the people who are leading them. So I just think it's been unbelievable to see the growth just in a couple of weeks from mm-hmm. Kuzain and Lindsay, just in confidence and play. It's been great.
All right, Elie. I love Elie, and I'm so happy he's in the All-Star game.
No one deserves it more than Elie
yes.
Sanchez.
Central midfielders who are defensive midfielders don't get any. They're not going to be on posters.
No.
They're not getting shoe company posters. They're not getting commercials. That's not going to happen. So I'm watching the warm up before the game yesterday or last night, and the pregame huddle. I'm like, okay, who's giving the speech here? It's Elie. And when Elie got here last year, 2 years ago now, well, he's been here longer than I thought. We did an interview with him. Great. Afterwards, he goes, I'm trying to do a terrible Spanish accent. And I apologize if my English isn't very good. And I said, you speak English better than most of the people here. Don't worry
yeah,
about it.
Like you're fine.
And so he's in there giving this fiery speech. And, you know, he does his job. He's an all-star. And then they need somebody to take a PK. And you're thinking target forward guy, mm-hmm. maybe a Johnny Russell type. I don't know. And it's Elie stepping up.
Yep.
And central midfielders, defensive midfielders, normally don't take PKs. I'll tell you, if Dom Dwyer was still here, there would have been a fight. And I don't think you covered Dom Dwyer. He had a very healthy opinion of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a reason he found himself out of here.
Yeah.
Not only did he, I don't think he wanted to be here, but I think it was the beneficial for the team for him to go. But Elie steps up for the PK. And I think that says a lot about him. He's not going to take a lot of shots, but he's on the ball a lot, mm-hmm. and he's a very confident guy.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool.
Peter said it best. After he got his first PK, goal. And I remember, I think it was against San Jose. He steps up and everyone's like,
what?
Wait, what? Like, is Ilya stepping up to take this PK right now? And I just, Peter called him his maestro. And that's the best way to describe him. He's calm, cool, collected. He is so composed. And he's a great leader. He's a great guy. And like you said, he plays the least glamorous position in soccer possible. And I didn't get to cover Dom Dwyer, but I do know enough about him, and I know enough about how this team operates and how important that that team chemistry is, how important this the camaraderie and the overall kind of character that Peter Vermees looks for. And I think that this team, another aspect that makes it so special is I think that it's a lot of selfless guys who work for the greater good of the team.
Right. Absolutely.
And Ilya Sanchez embodies that to his absolute core. I mean, he is just one of, we were on the podcast recently just gushing about Ilya, and it's so hard not to because he is just, he really is. He is the glue that holds that midfield together. He plays his heart out. He plays more minutes than any of these guys. He doesn't ever get breaks, but he works his tail off, and then he can step up and has the confidence. When Peter asked preseason, like, who wants to take PKs? And Ilya was like, me. I do. All right. And now he's obviously proving that he can do it. So.
Well, and when you think about it, he came through the Barcelona system. Now, he was on the Barcelona B team, so he's not on the A team. But, you know, there had to be training sessions where he's going head-to-head with Messi or Luis Suarez or Xavi or name off any of their billionaire all-stars over there. So he's played with and against the biggest names in the world. There's nothing that's going to scare Ilya.
Right. No, and it's funny you bring that up, too, because I feel like we're so fortunate that we got him.
Right. How did New York and L.A. with all their money not find this
guy? Right, and a steal, truly. Right. Like, seeing where he's come from and the experience, what he brings, just his experience is well beyond his years in the league or in the game, in my opinion. And I, again, feel fortunate that Sporting Kansas City got him because Sporting Kansas City loves Ilya.
We're talking with Ali Trost, who writes and does video and podcast for the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and all things soccer. So after the game last night, 2-2 draw, which is, it was important to at least get a point after the previous two games, which were a disaster. What was Peter's mood after the game? Was it, I know he's never satisfied, but what was his mood after the game last night?
He was actually a lot more positive and a lot happier than I was anticipating initially. He was really pleased with the first half. Even though they were down, he felt like they had a lot of chances. He felt like they were controlling overall the tempo of the game, which is important considering against Montreal and against Real Salt Lake, they really struggled, especially to, you know, make those, create chances and playing with energy. I think that was, especially against Montreal, a big issue. But no, overall, he was happy, and I don't really blame him either, because if you think about, look at this team right now, the adversity that they're facing, people often forget, because the depth chart is so significant.
Right.
People forget Felipe Gutierrez has been out for months now.
He's 5 goals in his first 5 games, and then boom, gone.
Boom, gone. Yeah. And he's slated to come back August 1st, so
I was hoping sometime this month, it's so close.
It's felt like
you want to get it right, though.
You want to get it right, and he's been training again, but Peter said, he's like, guys, we're a good team.
Right.
Fans, we're a good team. Everyone following Sporting Kansas City, we're a good team. We're just facing a little adversity right now.
And also last night, no Roger Espinoza, no Daniel Shalloway, because they red carded in the last game.
And Roger's leader in assists. Daniel, after his great stretch that he's had over the last month and a half, leading the team in goals. So they're without their leading assister and their leading goal scorer and still, you know, trying to put things together. But it was great to see Johnny Russell get another MLS goal and then celebrate with a front flip. Oh, my gosh.
I would break my neck in 15 places if I tried that, even on my best day. What, Johnny Russell, let's talk about him a little bit. And again, we're talking with Ali Trost from the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and all things soccer. When he got here, we knew he played at a high level in England with Derby County. Yeah. And they're going up to the Premier League. So he had a chance to play in the Premier League.
Right.
And probably make a little more money, but came over here before their season was even over. And first of all, he stands out. He's covered in tattoos. He's got kind of a wild haircut. Mm-hmm. And Patrick Mahomes II, yes, the new quarterback for the Chiefs, went to a game. It was a huge win for Sporting and said, I need a Johnny Russell jersey. Why is he, when you cover him on a daily basis, why is he so magnetic? I mean, he should be exhausted because he played a full season in England before he got here.
Yeah.
Barely took a break, and he's played so much since then. Why is he so magnetic? Why are we drawn? He scores, for one thing, but why are people drawn to him?
I think it's the way that he plays is just so...
It's badass. He's a badass.
He's a badass, and he just... when he gets that ball, and he makes those runs, and he is so dangerous and around the box. When, like, he doesn't look necessarily like the fastest guy, but his feet, he's so quick. And I just think that he brings a new energy to the team. And I don't even think that fans, like, he's so magnetic just because of the individual things that he does. I think it's the way that he impacts the entire field when he's out there. So much of what's happened offensively for Sporting KC this year, I think, comes back to Johnny Russell. Mm-hmm. He creates chances. He draws. He was, I want to say the first couple PKs, he was drawing those fouls in the box. Like, mm-hmm. he was the one that was giving Sporting these chances to get a PK. He gets that hat trick, which I think that almost solidified his...
I think that was the game Mahomes went to.
Yeah, oh, against Vancouver. Oh, yeah, that was unbelievable. And that was Johnny Russell in his purest form. But, and I think the other thing that's cool, for a guy who can score goals like that, who is so dangerous in and around the box, he's not, you don't get that that goal scorer ego.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a cool guy. He's interesting. He's got that awesome accent. Like you said, he's covered in tattoos. Oh, yeah. He's just, fans love him. Mm-hmm. I went in the Cauldron and interviewed fans recently at the Open Cup game against Dallas. And this little girl, Taylor, she was wearing one of the trenches hats. The trenches are a very iconic part of the KC Cauldron. And okay. She's holding this big sign like, I love Johnny Russell. He's my favorite player. And I think fans have just totally adopted him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you would think he's been here forever with right. the way that fans respond to him. So,
well, you talked about the way he works around the box. And the thing that stood out to me, because Sporting had a definite goal of bringing in people who could score this offseason. Mm-hmm. They still probably don't have the, they don't have the target guy yet. I mean, Kyrie Shelton does a good job of holding up the ball and creating things for other people. They don't have that one striker that you just always watch. But the thing that impressed me about Johnny Russell when I first watched him is driving straight at defenders, even two at a time. Whereas other guys, well, I'm gonna dribble around and I'm gonna go out wide or I'm gonna lay it off. And he drives right at guys. He's like daring you, like come and get me.
Yeah, he's like come and get me.
Exactly.
He really does, and I think that throws defenders, and I think it's really helped him. And I don't know if other teams have figured that out or if they're finding other ways to kind of limit him or try to, but I still think with the way that he plays, it's so different mm-hmm. for MLS, and it's so different especially for Sporting Kansas City.
Exactly.
And I know I love that you mentioned, you know, Sporting Kansas City doesn't have that striker necessarily, which has been a big conversation.
Right.
Like, where's our striker at? Okay.
We'll get somebody mid-season.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, while I agree it wouldn't be a bad thing to have, kind of like you said, that target, I love what you said about Kyrie holding up.
Yeah.
So, taking up so much attention of these.
He doesn't score a lot, but man, he does a lot of work.
He does so much work. And it's almost like Ilya with that not glamorous.
Right.
Kind of
just the dirty
play
work.
That he does the dirty work. He does that hold up. He gives way for Daniel Shalloway to get through and score some amazing goals, for Johnny Russell to have more space, for anyone he's out there playing with. Mm-hmm. He's a huge reason why those wing forwards are having the space that they do.
And we'll have to wait for the reports later this week. But speaking of Kyrie, he and Ike Opara went down with injuries. So,
which is the last thing Sporting needs, as we know.
The injury list is getting so long. All right, before we get into World Cup, real quick on next week, I'm not going to talk too much about New York Red Bulls, but their storyline is their coach just quit, Jesse Marsh.
Yeah.
And I after you read further, I don't think it's fair to say he quit, because they're owned by the Red Bull company, and they own Leipzig, which is a German team, and it's been rumored that they want him to go coach for Leipzig. This is one of the things I hate about foreign entities owning teams, because New York City FC has to go out dressed like Manchester City, which
right.
I cannot stand. Players from Man City get sent over here to play as their farm team. Okay, fine. They've got the money. Where's your stadium? But so New York Red Bulls in the middle of the season are forced to let their coach go, which I can't stand. I'm sure Chris Armas will do a great job. He's
right.
got a long history with the U.S. national team. And Jesse Marsh may end up coaching the national team. I don't know, but that's weird.
It's weird, and that's a hard thing for a team, regardless of who the replacement is. It's
right.
a hard thing to adjust to. That it all comes. A lot of what I've been thinking about lately is the psychological aspect. Mm. As we hit the midpoint in the season, that is just another thing to add to the psychological wear and tear that these players have already gone through with these schedules and the travel and think, you know, just the in and outs of the daily games, the struggle, the grind with practice and things like that. And then to lose your coach, like that just adds to it,
right.
kind of disrupts the ecosystem that you play
right.
within and that you've been playing within successfully or not for the entire first half of the season. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Hopefully Sporting can find a way to capitalize on any misgivings, shortcomings that
right.
come from this this little drama that they're experiencing.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to talk World Cup next.
Yes.
Well, are you in a? Do you have a bracket? Or are you in a player pool?
I did
well,
not.
Hang on. We'll hold that. We'll get into it next.
Okay.
We'll get into it next because Jed's in a player pool and he's happy about something that happened yesterday. So, we'll take a quick timeout. We're talking with Alec Trost from the Blue Testament, covers Sporting KC and all things soccer. What's your Twitter handle? Let's give that out, by the way.
My Twitter handle is at Trost Alley.
And
very...
spell that. So we.
Oh yeah, it's not Trost. It's T-R-O-S-T. A-L-Y. Yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately, both names, first and last, are multiple spellings,
exactly.
apparently. So, yeah, Trost Alley, T-R-O-S-T-A-L-Y.
All right, more with Alley Trost. We'll take a quick timeout. Jed Marshall is here. I am Brad Porter. We're live in the Rally House studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
See, I hear this song, and I feel like I should be, like, sneaking around. It's like, if you were shooting a movie and somebody was sneaking around, like, an office after hours, this song would be playing.
It's Herbie Hancock.
I like Herbie Hancock.
It's funk music? I don't know.
That video for Rocket was one of the best videos ever. And is he in the Jazz Hall of Fame? He's got to be in several musical Hall of Fame.
I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
Halls of Fame? Hall of Fames? Halls of Fame? It's like when you have more than one attorney general, it's attorneys general.
I guess.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. Welcome to the 36th meeting of the United States Attorneys General Association.
Sounds like someone created a new, like a spinoff of an attorney
right.
general.
Right. We're talking with Alec Trost, who writes and does video and blogs for the Blue Testament, covering Sporting KC and all things soccer. First time here. I'm sure we'll have you on again.
Yeah, love it.
It's great. World Cup. Since we talk Sporting, and they've got New York coming up next week. World Cup. You've been able to sneak in a few games here and there with
yeah,
your day job?
Especially now that it's down. when it first started...
It's every day. It's all day. It's awesome.
And
yeah.
It's great. But I was telling you at the beginning, with my job, I'm not able to watch as much as I would like. I don't necessarily work in a place where people care about World Cup soccer. I'm like the one who walks in the next day. Like, did you guys see what happened last night? They're like, what?
What?
Like, there was a game on. I'm like, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I don't have a bracket, no player pool, nothing like that. I know.
So you have nothing at stake.
I know. More just kind of, I pick a new team every game.
Okay.
So whatever happens in the final, I haven't been rooting for a team throughout this entire thing.
Okay.
But for example, I kind of am taking Croatia and I'm putting them as
sure.
my
Luka
team
Modric
for right
might
now.
Be the best player of the tournament so far.
Oh my gosh, it's been amazing.
Let me get an update from Jed Marshall's in a player pool here.
Mm-hmm.
You have the England defense.
Yes,
so
we
you
do.
Were happy with the shutout yesterday.
Very pleased.
Where are you in the standings after yesterday's games?
So we're like seventh, I think.
Seventh.
We're ahead of the morning show.
Oh.
So we still have that.
Disastrous draft.
Who did have a disastrous draft. But no, our team's not doing well. Rudy here is getting all of the credit for drafting England's defense. But yeah, our squad's been pretty disappointing. Mm-hmm. Having Messi really, I don't know, disappointing World Cup, yeah. obviously being out. We have a couple of French players. Paul Pogba, who obviously I thought would...
Doesn't score a lot, but
he should,
he's
though.
Been a good player.
He should score, though, Brad. He's so strong and powerful when you watch him. Like, he should have 10 header goals.
Yeah.
But no.
He's a little Johnny Russell-ish, the way he runs it, guys. He's big and physical. So you don't have a team that you root for because, you know, we got Landon Donovan wanting everybody to root for Mexico, and we
right.
got the Volkswagen commercial that's run endlessly, and they want you to root for, was it Brazil, Argentina, Belgium, blah,
yeah.
blah.
I went weird in, commercial.
I went in rooting. Yeah, it's. And I'm
I drive
sick of
a Volkswagen.
It.
I'm like, come on, guys. Like,
it,
really?
It looks like now they've selectively edited out
yes.
the teams that are bounced, like Brazil and Argentina or whoever else they had. But Belgium is like the last one, and that's the worst. The
yeah.
the fans in that commercial, those two guys are the worst.
Right. So
we like electronic disco or whatever they say, and it's. It's brutal.
So for the sake of the Volkswagen commercial, no one root for Belgium.
Okay.
We need to get them out of this commercial.
I went in. I was like many people. I had to root for somebody. So
right.
I rooted in part for Mexico. So my kids are half Mexican. And I rooted for Sweden because my mom's family, for the most part, mm-hmm. came over from Sweden. So those were my two teams. I picked Mexico to go to the quarterfinals. And I did not pick Sweden to get out of the group. And I was pleasantly surprised. So with all those things and all those other teams, Brazil getting bounced, Argentina getting bounced, Germany not making it out of the
right.
group, Spain losing.
It has been one hell of a World Cup.
It has been. It's been crazy. We were joking during one of the breaks about it's a great sign for world soccer, I think.
Oh,
that
totally.
Those big teams are out because these other teams are proving that they're catching up.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, kind of seriously, I said, it's a good sign for the U.S. that you can make. If Iceland is getting here, and Belgium is not a huge country, but it's you know,
right.
it's smaller than us. If these countries are getting here, the U.S. should be able to do it. And you said,
"Oh,
I said the United States should be there." And
Trinidad and Tobago.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Wow, that's awesome. The second time we said it today.
That's such a stab in the heart.
It. I think what irks me the most is like, United States didn't even have to win. They just had to tie.
Yes. Against a team that's about the size of this studio. A country that's the size of this studio.
God. Like, we should have been out there.
Yes. Unbelievable. That's such a stab in the heart.
Such a stab. But, you know, hopefully it was a stab in the heart. But at the same time, it was
too.
A wake-up call.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think going forward, things are going to change. And I think that... right here in Kansas City is the model for the future of
right.
United States soccer with what Peter Ramiz is doing, just to tie it back a little bit to Sporting, Pinnacle Training Center, just the level.
Youth academies.
The standard. The yeah. youth academies. It's insane now. And giving players the option or more viable options instead of going and playing college soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to bash on college soccer because I think there's a lot of great things that can come of it. But I can tell you right now that players who are opting to play in college versus opting to go straight into like a professional development, you know, USL, trying to sign contracts. You're going to get a way better experience. You're going to have
more
potential,
games.
Play more games.
College is so limited
it's
in the number
so
of games.
So limited. And just your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the same attention, same coaching, same level of play, just consistent play that you would get, you know, trying to go the professional route right out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and as you both mentioned, just the fact that everywhere else in the world does this exact same system and the U.S. is finally like, oh, right, maybe we should try this.
What do you think?
We have to do that too.
Well, they didn't even want to. That's what they didn't even want to.
Right.
Is what makes it so...
It's expensive. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's expensive. We waste money on plenty of other things. Yeah, whatever.
But correct me if I'm wrong. The kids in the Sporting KC Academy don't have to pay be in it, right? Am I right about that? If I'm wrong, somebody call in and correct me, but I think if you're in the academy, I don't think you're paying for it.
I'm not sure, but I think you're right because it is fairly selective.
Right,
in
it is very selective.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a question I'm...
Gosh, that's
I don't
one
know
of those
the answer
things
to.
I think I heard, but now I'm questioning whether or not I'm accurate on that. But my point is, we have to get away from the kids who have to pay $5,000 to $10,000 a summer to play on these travel teams. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
because the kids, you're leaving out such a wide swath of kids from different economic backgrounds who just can't afford it.
Yeah.
And ask how many kids or how many parents paid all that money and their kids didn't play in college. They're not going to be pros. I mean, what, 0.0001% of all soccer players are ever going to play professionally.
My parents are two of them. I mean, I played at the highest possible level for, I guess, young women's soccer in high school. Played at the ECNL level, which I'm not sure now. I think that's still the pinnacle of what you can get to. And, you know, I, because of injuries and other things and wanting to do journalism, I opted out of playing in college. But it's unrealistic for families. It's unrealistic for these kids. I mean, I'm one of four. I have three little brothers, all great athletes, two play college sports now. But just the travel, the schedules, like the money that it costs to make it to that level in the United States and leaving out so many people.
And you don't know about the coaching. Unless you're a real insider, you honestly don't know.
Yeah.
But like Belgium and Iceland over the last 10 years decided we're getting our coaches into these schools. They're going to get qualified. They're going to get their badges, what they call them. And we're going to build a bunch of fields and we're going to do this the right way. I don't know. If I walked out to a average field, I wouldn't know who's a good coach and who's not. I just don't. I don't know enough. I coached 8-year-olds for a couple of years.
Right.
That's it. I'm not qualified to coach. So I got about 3 minutes left here. And that was my rant on that. I always tell parents who spend all this money, look at all these top teams in the world. They will go to the middle of Africa to find you if you can play. Mm-hmm. They will go to the jungles of South America and find you if you can play. Right. They'll find you in Kansas City. They'll find you in Mexico, Canada, Iceland, wherever. They will find you.
Yeah.
They will find you. Okay, so our semifinals. First up, France and Belgium. I think it's going to be off the charts. It has the potential to be. I hope it is. I think it's going to be off the charts. Unreal talent on both sides.
And I'm so glad. I'm so excited for this matchup. I just think it's, like you said, unreal talent both sides. And it's one of those games where I really don't know who's going to come out.
I don't either.
It's, you know, I'm going to pick France.
Sure.
Over Belgium. But that is not to say I wouldn't be excited to see Belgium.
Either one.
Go to.
I'm good either way.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun with France. As Americans, we grew up kind of with this anti-French attitude. It just is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, the attitude, I don't know. I mean, we both helped each other over decades and wars. I mean, we might as well get along, but we don't. Mbappe, the 19-year-old. I've known about him for a while, but oh, my God.
And it goes back to what we said earlier.
Oh, my God.
The shock of, like, these kids. Literally, they're kids.
Yes.
Who are out there. And just the professionalism that they show, the skill, just the strength. It's unbelievable.
Right.
He's got a bright future, and I cannot wait.
All right, I got a little over a minute here. Croatia, England. I think this is going to be very physical.
Yeah.
Very physical.
If it's anything like what we've seen from both teams so far, it's going to be a bloodbath. A bloody, bloody bloodbath.
Yes. What about the PKs for Russia yesterday? 1 minute left. PKs for Russia yesterday, was that the worst PK sequence you've ever seen? For me, it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it started out with two, three misses.
One was blocked, and one was missed.
Yeah. Guys, place the ball.
What? I cannot stand the little stutter step.
Stutter step, I'm over it. It doesn't work.
Thank
it throws you.
You
off more than it throws a goalie off.
All right, Allie Trost, look her up on thebluetestament.com. Great stuff on Sporting KC. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, good time. We will take a timeout. When we come back, we'll have more of Sports Sunday. Jed Marshall is here. My name is Brad Porter. We're live in the Riley House Studios. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.